wine is arriving. That's good. Two, we've had since the first year we moved in, we have pure mallards that come every year. And this morning when I walked out of the house on the way over about 30 minutes ago, they were there. This is one of the earliest times I've seen them. Last year they left us in May. It's a sign that spring is in the air that they're back. And of course, we have a snowman burning Friday. What time is that?
5:30.
Of course, it's going to be dark. So that's a great event. Looking forward to it. I'm going to add three things under other at the end. One, student government, if they have anything to update us on, other at the end. Provost search update and commencement. So on first thing on the agenda, Matt, if you want to just walk us through what's happening.
Thanks, Tom. A couple things I want to give you an update about. We are about 300 applications below where we were last year at this time. I think that number is consistent with what we've talked about in the past. So really no change. It's about 15% down. We're down about 100%, or down 100 admits.
Thanks, Ben.
Not 100%, down 100 admits from last year at this time. Which is, I think, a positive. When you look at where we are proportionally with applications, and we see that perhaps we've had a stronger admission class, a stronger, higher level of completion of applications, I think there's some positives to be seen. We have not changed our admission standards at all. So when we look at our percentage down of admits at this point, and we consider our traditional yield of those admits, we can expect to be down a little bit, maybe we're budgeting to 3% down. Remember that we're doing a lot of new financial aid leveraging as it relates to recruiting our new students. A lot of that is leveraged on the auxiliary side of the house, and primarily on the junior and senior side of the housing group. We're trying to get those students that arrive for that freshman and sophomore year have to carry that scholarship beyond by staying on campus. And so this is our first fall class of that leverage. We'll continue to tweak the model, but we won't see the full results of that for another couple, 3 years. And so again, we expect to make up that decline in admits with our increased yield of those admits because of the new financial aid leveraging, which equates to about $200,000 that we're investing on that side. Really targeting special populations, really that need-based side of things for students. So we already know we have a high first-generation college student population, leveraging our financial aid to invest that in that type of student, which is our core admit class, is really our strategy. So I'll continue to update you, but really not much change since our last meeting. I know Annette had forwarded to the departments through the provost office enrollment numbers by major. Take a look at where your numbers fit and sit at this point and see what adjustments can be made. What I really wanted to talk about today are a couple things. So I wanted to give you an update that our enrollment committee meeting, our CAFE committee, continues to meet typically every Monday at 8, sometimes interrupted with events like this, which is fine. We intend to send roughly every other week some updates as it relates to enrollment, things you can do right now to increase our enrollment potential for the fall. And I wanted to address a couple of those potential opportunities today. One, Dr. Clay mentioned Snowmageddon, or Snowman Burn. We're wrapping in a major's fair to that event. We're trying to pull in prospective students with a major's fair at 2:30. Many of you are involved in that. So one of the things you can do in terms of helping us right now is to be participatory in our Snowman Burn. There's a 4:30 tailgate that day. 5:30 burn, free rock climbing, there's music at 6, there's a movie at 9. We're really trying to link in our traditions here on campus and bridge that with our respective populations. So one way we can help is to be participatory and more at least be involved with Snowmageddon. again on March 24th this week at 5:30. And then the other immediate thing you can do is, you know that midterm grades were just submitted. So we've got drop deadlines, we've got midterms, we've got students that need to make adjustments to schedules. Their academic standing, their financial standing are very, these are the most critical things as it relates to their persistence. This is what's going to determine whether or not they're going to re-register for the fall term, or potentially what interventions could be done over summer. So your engagement with students will be the second point besides getting involved in activities like Snowmageddon. It's taking a look at where we are at this point in the semester and making connections with your students so they can advise appropriately as to adjustments that might need to be made to keep them in the best position possible. And then another event that's coming up, as you know, is the first weekend in April is our robotics, our first robotics. I know Gene is not turning away volunteers for the first robotics. Dr. Jones, you're righteous in that. We'll take more volunteers. So the Snowman Burn this week, robotics, these are great events to introduce new students or potential new students to our campus. Your involvement in those are critical. We intend to, as a committee or through admissions or through enrollment, to kind of give you these sorts of regular updates on a more regular basis now. So every week, every other week, giving you updates in terms of Snowmageddon events, robotics events, things you can do right now to engage students, high school visits, things like that. So we'll do a better job of updating them. And the enrollment number by major that you have is our means to start some conversations. And then the last is that our orientation sign-up numbers and our housing renewal numbers and our initial housing numbers are all running pretty consistent with where they've been in the past. So again, that helps temper some of the decline in application numbers that we are seeing. Steadier number on the housing, financial aid, and some other sides of that. So again, encouraging numbers for that. If you have any questions, then we have them.
Mr. Gerber, I have a question.
Yes.
So if we're down 100 acts or
admits.
So how does that translate to 3% reduction? Just help me do the math.
Sure. So the question is, we're down 100 admits. How does that equate, do the math? How does this figure out in terms of our budgeting or our enrollment projections, right? So if in that same class, let's say we've always gotten a 30% yield in our admit numbers. We could assume of that 100 we're short, we're going to lose then 30 students that would have normally enrolled. So we could essentially assume we're going to be down 30 students. Where does that fit in our budget regarding our overall freshman class, whatever? That's where we hope our 3 to 6% greater yield in our financial aid leveraging for that freshman class. Those numbers apply to that same 100 and really apply to all 3,000 applications that we'll get. Should get us a more competitive offer on the table to our new students.
So in English, does that mean we're looking at a steady enrollment, or just because I heard you say it looks like a 3%?
If we were projecting for this fall, I think we're going to budget for a slightly down year, 3%. Okay. We want to be conservative there for
right.
Sure. But. We hope then that what we've done is steady the ship, then
right.
We budget for a flat, and then we start rebounding at 2% or better.
There is still significant time to move the dial on this.
Right.
I mean, significant. We have the spring and the summer yet to recruit. What's the greatest way to move the yield dial is all of you that have contact with applicants. The more contact you have with an applicant, the greater chance of them enrolling. That is across the board. Ralph asked if you saw the email thread, what are the things that the institution's doing that are growing enrollment? Well, Michigan's being Michigan. They have the ability to attract way more applicants than the number of seats that they have. It's a luxury. It's a luxurious position to be in. But a number of the other institutions across the president's talk about this regularly. Those are institutions that are the entire, particularly smaller, when I say smaller, under 10,000, where the entire institution is focused on its brand and interaction with that brand. That means constant contact with applicants. That means constant promotion of the institution. Those are things we can do for free. We are hiring a marketing director, but I can't emphasize this enough. Those of you that follow me on social media, a lot of my friends have nothing to do with Lake State, get a lot of advertising for Lake State to follow my social media content. Why? That's absolutely important for the institution. And if everyone did that, if everyone once a week posted something cool that's happened on campus, every one of you has a camera with you all the time. All the students have a camera all the time of snapping a photo of something interesting and talking about something about the experience of Lake State. That's an incredible free advertising tool. I'm surprised that doesn't happen organically. Some of you do, and I appreciate it. And we are seeing an uptick in engagement in social media in the institution. We have the most number of followers on our Facebook page. All of our social media interactions are up, and that's good, but that has to be a communal effort. And everyone is a recruiter. We still have a significant period of time to increase yield and increase our fall enrollment by contact. We know across the board that our number one recruitment success strategy is word of mouth. It's the number one thing when we survey our students of how they ended up here. If you're someone they know, another student, a relative, or a faculty member, or someone, that is still the number one means that we recruit the students. And we're in total control of it in terms of how we tell that story.
I wonder, is there any merit in pondering for just a second the likelihood or the ability to cultivate commuter students or to recruit commuter versus the ones that are residential? I mean, which ones have a more rapid yield to them? It's early, I may not be expressing myself right.
So they commute, you want to grow both populations?
Well, I know.
And for the commuter students, who are the commuter students?
The ones from the Tri-County area.
They are, and that's where our greatest number of non-traditional students are. That's where a significant number of our transfer students are, older transfer students are. And yes, there is tremendous opportunity to increase that population. We are, one of the things I got, asked fairly aggressively about in Lansing is our relationship with community college. That is front and center on the legislature's mind. Because what they hear is that community college students have problems with transfer credit, can't get to where they want to go, and that the four-year campuses are not cooperative and aren't meeting the needs. That's the front and center argument that the community college baccalaureate authority is back in the works in terms of asking for that authority. I'm following this very carefully because if they get baccalaureate authority, that to me opens the window for four-year campuses that have community college charters to have property tax levy. So, can't have it both ways. Right now, we have community colleges have property tax authority, and they're producing two-year degrees and certificates to work in the immediate surrounding area. But if they go down the baccalaureate route, then that creates a hybrid institution, which we already are, but we should have access to that same funding stream. And if you read the Education 21st Century Report, and a number of you contacted me about that, I'm not on that commission. The 21st Century Education Commission just sent out calls for the state of Michigan to move to free community college. It's in the it's top priority list of things that the state should do. Just like what's happening in New York, what's happening in Tennessee, what's happening in California, what's happening in Washington, that is listed as a strategy to position Michigan for its future. Now, I have argued, we want to change that language, not free community college, but access, affordable access for the first 2 years of college. It's a much preferable phrasing. Whether you go to a university, community college, wherever you go. That's what we should be focused on, not law, not free community college, only a community college. But that's coming down the pipe. I am fairly convinced that the commission I am on, which is the master commission, is going to make some recommendation about access to hiring as a priority for the state. And particularly access to baccalaureate hiring. Because the, we just, I mean, it's amazing the experts that this commission has brought in under the governor. Last week we had Harvard Business School there with their experts on education attainment as it relates to healthy economies and health of state economies. No question, every group that this group has consulted, baccalaureate attainment is absolutely key to a successful economy. And there's no question in my mind that this commission is going to hammer that point home.
So is one of the ways that they get to that by changing the formula of the percentage that state funding takes care of for the students, say?
Well, we can recommend that. I think that's tough. It's a tough sell right now. We have a legislator who wants to eliminate the property tax or the income tax commission. Okay? If that happens, right. You know, that funds a lot of the general fund. That's the general fund. I should point out it's important to understand that the language around increasing higher ed appropriations for four-year campuses is to get us back to 2011 funding level. I think we should be talking about 2000. Earlier, Lake State is beyond its 2011 funding levels. There are only three or four institutions that are funded at a level at or higher than 2011. We're one of them. So it makes it hard to make the argument we should be get more state funding because we're one of the few institutions that's at that point already. If we're talking 2011, now why? As a group, we've decided 2011 is the magic date. I don't know. I think it makes sense. 2000, maybe 1995, maybe 1980. Back to a number when it was two-thirds funded. We're just talking about going back to a model of funding that's roughly a third. Yeah.
So the reason that 2011 is kind of enshrined is the year that you talked about.
I know why it is. It's when we received a major cut. Right?
Yes. 20% cut across the board.
But why that cut there? That's before that. Why did we pick that? It's just politically popular, and that's something that we've got. Other thoughts or questions? I don't want to spend much more time on this, but I want to spend more time on enrollment. We need, again, to think collectively that everything that every one of us does impacts enrollment. I've just finished this weekend, worked on an editorial I'm going to try to get out in the Michigan State papers, Wisconsin, Minnesota, maybe try to shoot for a national market about the value of a college four-year education. And if I could get some spin on that, anytime we get some publicity outside the immediate market with the institution's name on it associated, that's good for us. But everybody can do that. You all could write an article about what this college mean to you. What did Lake State mean to you? Those are their alumni. Post something. Those of you that are alumni, what did this place do for you? Hopefully something good, should have, right? Tell that story. The more people telling that story, the more the institution is front and center. What did, if you have a baccalaureate from this institution, what did that provide? In terms of opportunity. If we weren't here, you didn't have access to it. Or college in general. So thoughts. HLC report and update. We, as you know, we received our HLC report. We have been reaccredited. I was interested to see Bay Area is using the term reaffirmation. I haven't seen that in context. I'm asking Dave Mike, is that becoming the new term? Reaffirmation or reaccreditation? It sounds nice. Reaffirmation.
Reaffirmation.
Reaccreditation.
Because accreditation is ongoing. And so they're saying, you were accredited, you continue to be accredited, and at a particular point in time, we reaffirm your accreditation.
That's a change in the language, what I'm familiar with seeing. But we've gone through that process. You can all read the reports. And now we need to work on our next steps. We have to make progress on assessment, program review, institutional outcomes, peer review, and a culture of excellence. We need to make progress on that and demonstrate that it permeates the institution. And I talked about this with the CAFE committees, where we had a CAFE goal writing exercise recently, which we'll talk a little bit about. We do not want an assessment committee. That will kill us. That is one of the things that they talked about with us, with me. You can't have a single committee that does assessment at the institution. What they want is a culture of assessment. That means all committees, all work units, all schools, all of the administration are involved in assessing what they're doing, and evaluating what they're doing, and the success of it. Not a single group that's all they do. We need to have some high-level assessment in the institution, but we need to demonstrate that that culture permeates every operational area of the campus. David Day, you agree with me or disagree with me?
Agreed. Can I come up and take
some remarks?
With respect to enrollment, another thing that we can do is invite folks to the Kansai Health Education. That's a great way to showcase the community. A beautiful new classroom building, right? It's fabulous, functional, really, really nice. So show folks the opportunities that we have here. Back to the HLC report, updated next steps. With regard to assessment, I'll back up and affirm or reaffirm the good news that we are on the standard pathway. With respect to assessment, we're now crafting a common vocabulary that we're all going to use when we speak to this activity and what we're doing. What we found is that our assessment of general education is very limited, and that is something that we really need to get after. We also need to pay particular attention to program assessment. I think we're making good headway with respect to course assessment. But program assessment is a different lens by which to view the work that we do. We've seen that in engineering. It's true in business as well. I know that firsthand, and I know that's the case across campus. With regard to program review, the 9 program reviews that were submitted in the fall semester are being reviewed by Provost Council, and we're now developing a new plan, means by which to move forward even more purposefully with program review. A little P, big P concept that David Mike has talked about. Institutional outcomes are being crafted by the General Education Committee, so that work is underway, and we hope to have that completed, intend to have that completed by the end of the semester. And then finally, peer review. So peer review, part of our annual evaluation process, part of the tenure and promotion process, part of our distinguished teacher selection, part of emeritus appointments. We want to integrate that in all that we do and take peer review up a notch as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. A couple of comments about peer review. I would, I'm not suggesting that it has to be, we need to do exactly this, but I would encourage you, if you're interested, look at that link I sent out of my own dossier of how peer review is handled in the culture that I came from. You will look through, if you look through the evaluation sections from the department, from the campus committee, from the institution, you'll see 2 to 5 page letters of evaluation of teaching, scholarship and service. But some of them are critical. And I'm fine with putting that out there. When I think about that, all that process I'm going through. At an institution that valued teaching so much that it contacted 100 former students for tenure. 100 former students contacted, got to weigh in on tenure decisions. That's how serious teaching was. Take every one of those comments in the tenure submission. Now, I'm not suggesting we can get to that. That's a lot of work. Contact, it means you've got to track everybody's former students. But that's a clear indicator of assessment evaluation of teaching. If you're taking that level of evaluated performance that 100 students have input into the process in a significant way. I'm not saying we do exactly that, but what I'm suggesting, if you look at that process, and I put it out there for people to look at, because it shows how the faculty, the evaluating faculty, have a critical role where they're writing substantial annual evaluations of in-classroom dissertations of each other, of scholarship, of service, of governance. We need to make progress in that direction. We don't have to do exactly that, but we need to demonstrate that you all are evaluating each other. That's become the norm in higher ed. And that's the one thing we heard loud and clear in this visit. We have to have that level of peer evaluation, not just in the faculty, but in the administration, in the staff, across the campus, and all things that we do. And I want to get back to David's comment about Constein Hall. That is a huge opportunity for promoting the institution. And I just want to comment that it's a win-win for the entire institution. We should look at that facility as a Lake State asset. I've been somewhat surprised at some of the reaction I have gotten when I've pushed on students as to where I'm getting this from. That Considine Hall is a net gain for one program and a net loss for some other program. No. That facility is a net gain for everyone. And every place that I have worked in my career, a brand new, shiny facility, regardless of what discipline it's in, particularly if it's open, has a commons area to it, attracts interest in the institution. We're at that critical point where we should be able to do that. And it's amazing because it's got such a neat history. It's not just building some new thing. It's taking a historic building that's part of our legacy and making it modern, yet retaining that historic nature that people, a lot of people, it's interesting some of the reactions from the alumni, how stories that I'm seeing online about experiences that people had in South Hall, and how much affinity there is with that building. People that went to school in that building 30 years ago. Now it's improved dramatically. So it's a great story.
So I'll add, the cafe is open, the food is good, come on over and grab a bite to eat. It's a neat spot.
All right, the cafe updates. Phil, do you want to just take us, maybe David, Mike, you want to take us a little bit through, or David, the what's happening with the bowl lighting, what the committees are working on?
So when the email came out yesterday, I scrambled and jotted down a lot of thoughts to share. Right? So I'm ready. So let's walk through this, right? We were just talking about the Constein Cafe. Coincidence, here we are, our cafe, the strategic plan. So the good news, the framework has been established, and we've clarified the strategic focus of the cafe committees, and that is to evaluate the work of the planning units, not reporting units, planning units, and then make institutional recommendations. So a workshop was held on Monday, March 13th, to draft 6 to 10 master goals, one per pillar. We wanted to make sure that we captured, hoped everything, but 6 to 10 master goals per pillar. We're receiving input with respect to those. Did we miss anything? Via Provost Council, via the Deans and Chair Leadership Group, in today's collegium. So an email went out last week that had all of those master goals. Share your thoughts, ideas. Did we get it? Is there something missed? We'll also be taking a look at those at the HR Leadership Forum on Thursday of this week. But send me a note, send David Mike a note. We want to know if anything was missed. Moving forward, we're going to synthesize those 6 to 10 master goals down to 3 to 5 per pillar. That work will happen the week of March 27th. Once that's in place, we'll move forward with planning unit goal setting. So pick schools would be an example for the physical plant departments with the CAFE master goals as a guide. So that's where we're headed. David Mike, did you care to add anything? He's shaking his head no, so I think that got it.
I just want to have a chance for Maury to put you on the spot, but under finance, you're working on our three-year budget planning document, and I know you've sent it out to the cabinet. A few folks were initial response. There's a plan to get that to campus for some reaction in the near future, correct?
Right. I'm hoping to send that out this week, actually, to the campus for some reaction, and then follow up with some open meetings, Q&A sessions, conversations, roundtables, whatever you want to call those. Unfortunately, I have a trip to Chicago the last week of March for campus business, and I'll be gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and part of Friday. But I just sent an email to Mark Boucher. I did.
Bad?
No. And I didn't know if we could set up a blog or something in the new site.
Yeah.
On the new website.
Good.
And that would do two things. It would provide an opportunity to have ongoing dialogue while I'm gone about the financial plan, and it would drive people to the new site as well. They could maybe look around at a few things that are up and running there. So it's a fairly long document. It's 60 or 70 pages, but it has a lot of data in it.
It's a lot of historical data, and I've asked Maury to work on the executive summary. It's one page that you can read and your eyes don't water over. Long version, but there is some very useful historical data in terms of looking at long-term trends, budget, situations that the institution has been in the past, how it's navigated those, and I think it's very helpful. It provides some context. There's some things in reading the first draft of the document that were new to me. So I think it would be helpful for framing some context, historical context.
So the document towards the end then has, it only has 1 year of the 3 years in it. It only has 18 planned out at this point, and I'll get 19 and 20 out in the next 2 months. But took a lot to get to the 18 plan. It provides options, not necessarily directives, on how we might address the issues before us and budget accordingly for FY18. So hopefully you see that it, the document provides a lot of information, different decisions, different directions that we might take in order to maintain financial viability.
One of the things that's also on this commission's agenda that's at least made it to the level of discussion is, should the state have an annual budget or a 2 year budget, some other interval? Having worked in states that have 2 year budgets, One-year budgets are tough to plan. It's hard on the universities, because every year we're wondering, what's our tuition going to be? What's our state of growth going to be? Versus if you have a two-year block, which means at least lock in for 2 years, what is your tuition going to be? What is your state appropriation going to be? That's helpful. It would be helpful for the state as a whole, and all of us. Now, whether that gets any traction or not, I don't know. Does that allow for better planning if you have that's important. Student government, any updates?
Yeah, so I just have a few quick things. The election process for student government has started with petitions being due tonight at midnight. So if you know any students who might be interested in serving them as a student community, this would be a great way to do so. And I recommend that you push them to submit that petition.
With that being said, the swearing in ceremony is going to take place April 20th, and that's at 9 p.m. in the Anchor Room. So that's a great way to meet those student leaders who were successful with their campaigns. Seymour's Pantry, the student government operates, is continuing to operate in serving our students. I think we've served a total of 32 different clients. That's not number of visits, that's the number of individuals that we've helped. Student government hosted a day of service. That was on March 12th. We had over 20 students show up, and we took the time to volunteer to make some blankets that are going to be donated to the Sioux St. Marie community, the animal shelter, as well as hospice and some other organizations. So this will be the last update that I'll be giving with the collegium. Commencement is in 40 days, just in case anybody was wondering. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jay so that he can talk about an idea that city government has been kicking around.
Thank you, RJ.
Process. There are various ways to engage search firms.
full-blown search process like what was used in the hiring of the president. There are abbreviated forms whereby a search firm helps you attraction of candidates and vetting of candidates. We are looking at that kind of process and discussion. Right?
Oh, hopefully okay. We'll decide today.
Yes. Maybe is very good as well. So once that happens, things are going to start to accelerate significantly in terms of the process. And then finally, commencement, and I have one last thing to say. Any updates on commencement? It's hard to believe that we're 5 weeks away. Right? 5 weeks. Could be snowing it
now. Yeah, we hope most of the snow piles have melted. Some tweaks to commencement look significantly the same. We're excited to be in the distinguished teacher selection process with the reception to follow. So be sure to support and participate in all of that. The real change is going to be with respect to honors. And that will happen the Friday before 5 p.m. In the Arts Center. And the format will allow us to recognize not 24 or 25 students at breakfast, but over 140 faculty will be asked to wear their regalia to that event. We really want to punch it up with a lot of pomp and circumstance. So we're excited about hosting that event in the Arts Center and then in the midst of the next morning. It'll be a real weekend.
And then final comment I want to make is I do a number of these Pizza with the President deals with political science club organizes. And the last one we had last week was at the House, which provides a different venue for interaction with students. And I really enjoy those experiences of talking with our students. And I just want to share with you that at those, sometimes there are concerns expressed. But at this last one, I heard so much about all the positive experiences that students are having with all of you. What's happening, particularly with faculty engagement in senior capstone projects and field projects. There's a lot of interesting experiences about that. How students feel a sense of connection with the institution. One of the things I usually ask students is, how did you get here? How did you end up here? And those stories are always interesting, particularly from the students that are from outside of the area. And one that was a particularly compelling story of a student who was actually headed to another institution on a tour. And their parents said, you know, there's another university that's on the way. They're coming from Lower Michigan. We should just stop. Well, I don't know much about that place, but going somewhere else. Let's stop and check it out. That was it. Student, their parents, met with faculty, staff toured, said it to all the places that the student had visited, this felt the most connected and warm, and the scale was appropriate, and that was it. So it's a great story, so I just want to share with you because I walk out of those events feeling that's what all of this is about, and worthwhile. All of the meetings, all of the energies that everyone puts in to hear those kinds of experiences from students and how their experiences are benefiting them and they're engaged in them is very positive. I just want you to those moments of conversation powerful reminders of why we're all here. I'm sure you hear many of them all the time, but I just wanted to share with you some of those comments. It's very, very positive. Sometimes I wonder if our dogs have something to say about it. Everybody wants to pet them, and they start feeling a little fuzzy, and I get to hear lots of things. They're sort of ambassadors. any questions that you want to ask me about? That's quiet. All right, thank you very much.